Welcome to another episode of Right One Geek Show. We are your host, Shankar and Vishnu.
Yeah, now that you won't get confused anymore.
Yeah, that's why we thought we'll start with video this time and experiment a little bit.
This is not awkward at all.
This is not at all. We are not feeling awkward at all. And this seems to be quite natural. This seems to come quite natural for us.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we are born to do this.
Exactly. That I think kind of feeling. We have had a lot of requests coming in saying that we should start doing video, but I never thought it would be so difficult to do this.
Yeah, but we have taken the first step. Hopefully, it'll go, you know, in the direction we expect it to. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, it was easy for us to fool people saying that we are in our studio and we are recording this, that and all. Now they can really see where we are, actually.
But this has a lot of drawbacks, man. Like, I can't pick my nose anymore.
Yeah, you need to be more decent. That's it.
Yeah. So anyway, let's jump right into the episode. So this episode, we're going to talk about something we are facing currently. We are, in the sense, the people in Bangalore.
Right.
So we are facing a crisis right now in the form of water shortage.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been going on for some time, and there are a lot of people who have been getting water, using water trucks and all that.
Right.
And it's just getting worse and worse. So I thought, you know, why don't we just check out what's happening here and how severe the case is? Because even in our area, a few months back when there was, like, you know, proper drought kind of setting, we also had to, like, get a few tankers to fill up our
tanks.
Yeah. So I was wondering, you know, I'll just delve into it and, you know, figure out what's going wrong.
Yeah, I think you're probably given a complete overview about what the problem is. And this, as you can see, is a little deviation from what we generally do. We generally find out some interesting topic and go deep into it. This, we wanted to do this because as we were researching and reading about this, and we came across certain, you know, articles and documentaries and stuff. This is really a scary thing. And if someone thinks that we are very safe and this is a thing that is coming in the future, we are very wrong, because we don't have many number of years before Bangalore is going to run out of water. And recently, Chennai was in news because Chennai kind of completely went dry, you know, without water at all.
They went without a rain for 200 days.
Mm-hmm.
200.
Right.
And even after they got some rain, it's not that great though.
And even in Bangalore this year, rains have not been that great. It's been, you know, a once in a while kind of a thing. Whereas this is mid of June, right? More than half of June has passed, and still we don't have the rains that we should be expecting at this point.
Yeah, and it was a lot more warmer this year than how it used to be. So we'll start with talking about how Bangalore was and, you know, compare it with the present.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about Bangalore. I think we used to visit Bangalore once in a while because we had our cousins, and our, you know, uncle has been here since a long time. So I remember during school days, during vacations, we used to come here. And my memory of Bangalore, and we used to usually come sometime in October, December, this time, right? And my memory of Bangalore is this very beautiful cold mornings with, you know, with mist, and sometimes there used to be fog and stuff. And it used to be this very cold, beautiful morning with we had a lot of gardens and parks those days. Green, misty mornings, and, you know, we used to go for walks, and there were a lot of lakes and stuff. So that is a Bangalore that I had seen growing up. And that was a Bangalore I always thought I would come back to. Because as a kid, I wanted to get a job and come to Bangalore and settle down.
Yeah, it was truly a land of, it was a city of garden city, right. And also like a land of lakes.
City of lakes.
So that was a thing, but we are talking about 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, I specifically remember coming back in 99, year 99. I stayed here for a few days. We all stayed here for a few days, and I used to go for walks with our cousins, right? It used to be so beautiful. And I always used to think, you know, if I'm settling down somewhere, this is the place that's going to be.
It happened.
Yeah, it did happen.
So, yeah, but what I'm talking about is like a little more further back.
Right.
Somewhere around like 60s and 70s. Interesting fact, did you know that Winston Churchill visited Bangalore in 1890s?
Oh, he did come to India, so I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he visited Bangalore and he loved the place because, mm-hmm. you know, it's almost like a hill station kind of place, and you have, you know, a climate which is almost comparable with European ones.
Right.
And it actually extended up to like 70s and 60s and 70s, it seems. So I read one article which is written by a native Bangalorean.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about the time when she grew up, which was like 60s and 70s. And she was like, you know what? Back then it was like the home of... The place where retired people come and settle, right?
Mm.
And
pensioners' paradise.
Yes, pensioners' paradise. And she was talking about how people after getting married, this used to be a place where they used to come and, you know, enjoy their honeymoon and all that. So it was almost like, you know, you can compare the climate of Bangalore with Western countries.
Or with what Ooty and Kodaikanal
was back then. It was like that. And there were like a lot of water bodies around like 280 lakes and what is that? There were like less people back then.
Right.
So in the 70s, we had around like 1.62 million people in Bangalore, which has increased by in 2012, we had 9 million. So from 1.62 in 1970s, we had 9 million in 2009. And by 2018, it reached 11. And by 2030, it is expected to be at 20 million.
Right. So we came to Bangalore in 2009. So I think it was just shy of about 9 million that time. I think it would have been somewhere around 7 and 8 million.
So what we are hearing is that by 2030, we would be like, you know, one of the 50% people who were already here, you know.
Wow.
We are like proper Bangaloreans by then.
Of course, that is still 11 more years to go, which would be a little bit more than what we have already stayed.
Yeah, so what we can see is like from 1970 to like 2000, there were like a 244% increase in population. And from 2000 to 2011, it was like it grew by 47%. It's still not stopping because being the Silicon Valley and the opportunity that you get here, people are just coming from all across the country, to make their dreams come true.
You know what? The main thing to think about is it's not just the IT crowd that's coming in. For a city to set up for IT, like we have a lot of IT companies, even I work for one of them, there's a lot of support system that comes in. You know, you need more restaurants and you need more, let's say, shops and stuff. So there are more traders coming in, more people coming and working for restaurants. So it's not just the IT crowd and the engineers who are coming in. There's a lot of other section of the society which comes in as well for support services.
The tertiary side, everyone. Yeah. Even we have a lot of farmers trying to move close to the city so that, you know, they can sell their products for higher prices because it's a city which is booming.
And this is contributing to the, inflow of a great amount of population every single day.
Yeah. And with the increase of population, yes, we do need a lot of natural resources to sustain. And one of those resources is water. And it has gone up, you know, shot up a lot, the requirement of water. But the problem is that with people coming in at an alarming rate, right, we need more land too for them to settle.
Right.
So what has happened is like... there were like 280 water bodies, 280 plus water bodies in 1970s. But currently we have only 80. So where the hell did all these things vanish?
Well, I think we can, especially the place where we used to stay earlier, JP Nagar side, right? There used to be this lake, Puttenhalli Lake is what it was called. There was so much land being encroached that the one side of the entire lake was covered with apartments and stuff. And I remember there was a drive where, government kind of tried to demolish a lot of those houses. It got stopped midway. Yeah. I think there was some appeal or something.
Yeah, like where will they go to? You can't... I don't know who
it's like.
Some
builder buys the land and he sells it to someone. And these people who have no idea about the history of that land come and buy these apartments. And in the end, they get into trouble.
Of course, they don't look at, you know, who authorized it or who owns it and what you have to do. They won't have proper papers also.
That's right.
So that kind of stuff happens. And, you know, yeah. So from 280, the number of water bodies had decreased to like 80, and most of these places now we have high-rise buildings or stadiums or like other facilities.
I think which is that Kantirva Stadium.
Kantirva Stadium is built on a lake,
right?
Which actually, you know, baffled me. Like seriously. So around like 80% of the city is filled with concrete. You know, you have a concrete jungle now,
right,
which has actually stopped water from, you know, going underneath and replenishing.
So there is no rainwater harvesting that is happening because of...
Like the thing is, like, rainwater harvesting has been made a mandatory thing to do, but you never know, like, how many people are following it.
Right.
Especially, you know, land encroachers, they will just build and, you know, never think about it. They'll just sell it off and go off. I think the major builders and all, I think they take care of it, but still, you know, you have no idea how many of them get away with it, right? So the groundwater level is being depleted. There's one more reason why the groundwater level is reducing at an alarming rate. So most of the countries in the world, like especially like the western side, they all get water from, you know, water bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But here in India, there is a culture, especially in Kerala and all that, with every home you have one well, right?
That's right.
So what we are doing is, like, we are actually using up the groundwater,
right?
So in Bangalore right now, we have, like, there's a trend that whenever you build a building or, like, you
have a bore well,
yeah, there's a bore well which comes along with that. So it is said that every day there are, like, six people who are applying for permission to get a bore well dug for their you know, property.
Mm-hmm.
So with more bore well, the what we are doing is, like, we are drinking up all the water from the ground, and the
water table goes down.
And the water table goes down. So now,
so just to explain what water table is, so underneath the ground there is a water there is groundwater, right? The level of water is called water table. So with more usage of this groundwater, the level goes down. That means you have to dig deeper and deeper and deeper to get that same amount of water. So what was the water table like, like 10 years ago?
So 10 years ago, interesting fact, it was around, like, you know, 200, 300 feet.
That means you have to drink, dig 200, 300 feet to find water.
And currently it's around, like, 10 times more, around, like, 2000 feet.
Man, that means in some time it's going to be, you have to dig 1 kilometer down the soil to reach water.
Probably you won't get it there too, you know, right. Probably we'll just deplete it. Completely. On a whole, you know, it'll become an extinct thing. I don't know, man. So there has been, like, a 10 times increase in decrease in water table, in the water table. So what attributes to this? So the digging of bore wells is one of the major issue which has led to this. And when I dug up deep about this, the thing is that there are, like, there were not, like, proper regulations set for, you know, how many bore wells you can have in the vicinity and all that. So over the past 10 years, people, whenever they build a home or, like, someone get a new property, they'll just dig bore wells and they'll use it up. So naturally, the water table has decreased and it has been at its lowest right now. And so talking about builders and that part, where you have a lot of land which were actually water bodies being turned into high-rise building and apartment complexes and all that. Where do you get all the materials to make all these buildings? You need sand, right? So there have been, like, many illegal activities when it happening when it comes to sand mining. So these encroachers, they'll go and take sand from all these water bodies, from the lake basin and all that. And it has actually reduced the capacity of these water bodies to, you know, retain water.
Right.
So that has also led to the decrease of water bodies from 280 to, like, 80%. And one interesting fact is that even though we have around, like, 80 water bodies, majority of these things are, like, so polluted that we can't even bathe
in it. Belandur Lake is one classic. I think it's a international phenomenon right now, because I was watching, as we were doing research for this episode, I was, you know, going through YouTube to find some related videos and stuff. I saw one French TV channel. They had a news piece on Belandur Lake.
Wow.
Okay. They were talking about how this the city called the Silicon Valley of India, Bangalore, had a lake on which there was this, you know, it has this white foam coming out of it. And I have personally seen that. I was driving to office once. I was taking a different route. So I saw this coming out of the lake and onto the road and all that. And once in a while, it catches fire as well.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times. So one of the interesting stories that I read about this Belandur Lake is that there is this lady who lived, you know, around like 20, 30 years in US.
Hmm.
So the house she had there was like next to a lake.
Right.
And she had this amazing view. And she was like, when I come back to like Bangalore, I want a lake view. Next to, yeah, a lake so that I can get the lake view. Then she...
And I'm not joking. I think I've seen a Lakeview apartment right next to Belandur Lake.
It's called Lakeview.
I know where you're coming to.
Yeah. So she she bought a apartment which is right next to Belandur so that she can have a proper view.
Right.
And now she regrets it.
She has a proper view, right?
She has a proper view. And it's like every other day it catches, catches fire.
It does. And it's too dangerous as well.
And sometimes it starts... smelling stinking. So bad
right.
that the smell won't go for like 5 days or something.
Man,
so there are like so much of industrial, you know, waste and effluents, all those things which are like sent into that water body that it's first, it's not, let's not talk about, you know, drinking it.
Right.
We are not supposed to even bathe in it.
And not even supposed to breathe those gases which are coming out. And, you know, this also brings up an interesting topic because I had a conversation with one of my colleagues and he's from Bangalore and he settled here and he has his own house and stuff. So I was just telling him, you know, the expectations that are set by the relatives. The moment you come to Bangalore and you settle down with a job, they're like, oh, now you have to get an apartment or a house here and all that. They always think about, oh, now that you're settled in life, you have good income. Next thing you need to do is buy a house and settle down in Bangalore. So he was giving me advice. He's like, dude, listen to me and you will thank me in 10 years if you really listen to what I'm saying. I have a house here. Never buy a house in Bangalore. That's what he said. And I think it makes sense because if things are going the way it is right now, in maybe by 2025, this would be a city which would be very difficult to live in. You look at the traffic, you look at the water depletion and stuff like that. You're just putting yourself into a place which... See, I really love Bangalore. Bangalore is my most favorite city, okay? And as I said, I used to dream about coming to Bangalore. I don't regret it. You know, it has given me everything that I have right now, but... Is it a place that you want to settle down and live next 50 years of your life? Probably not. So, I'm just, you know...
From pensioner's paradise.
Exactly. So, do you really want to settle down here? So, I'm thinking... So, when I am having this discussion about buying a property, apartment, blah, blah, and all that, my mind is saying that you should move as much away from cities, right? If you really want a place to live out your rest of your life, find a place somewhere deep enough, you know, a place where you can breathe the air.
Yeah.
Live here, pay rent, whatever it is.
Go back.
Once you're done, just go back.
Oh, yeah. So
that is my thought. I'm not pushing this into someone else.
You
know what? If you have recently bought a house, good. This is amazing.
No, we just, you know, we'll take it all back. It's all fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, getting back to the point, we Bangalore. Okay, so the water in Bangalore, it's supplied by this organization called Bangalore Water Supply and Sewerage Board,
BWSSB.
Right. So on an average, they supply 1.4 billion liters of water.
Holy!
To the city.
What?
Okay, and guess what? It does not satisfy our needs.
Still.
It still does not.
I think we are some 800 million
liters. We are lacking by 800 million liters.
So that means we need 2.2 billion liters.
Yes. And one issue with, you know, pumping this water from most... Yeah. So the thing is like we get this water from Kaveri. Okay, Kaveri River.
Hi, people from Tamil Nadu. Yeah. You know what we are talking about?
No, I don't know. Yeah. So, most of this water, it's pumped from Kaveri.
Right.
And it takes around like $6 million or something in electricity charges to like pump it into the city.
$6 million per month?
Every month, yeah. Wow. So, that's how much it costs. And the funny thing is that during transit, around like 40% of this water leaks. Yeah. So BWSSB, they are pumping 1.4 billion liters of water into the city every day and 40% of it leaks. After 40% leaks, we still have a deficit of like, you know, 800 million liters of
water. So if that 40% is not leaking, we are good, right?
Probably.
So all you need to do is go and fix those leaks.
You know how what happens when you're trying to fix those leaks, right? You can see, you know, just get out of there and you can see what I has know, happened to the road.
The main road is...
Yeah.
Well. So next time when you, you know, swear at the people who are fixing the pipeline outside your house, just remember this. They're just trying to fix the leaks. Don't be angry at them. Let them fix the leaks and, you know, try to save some more water.
Yeah. So that's the general statistics of right. how much water we need and how much water we are getting. And the rest of the needs are satisfied by water tankers.
Oh, that is a different story.
So, yeah. What I came to know is that by 2012, there were like a lot of places in Whitefield which does not, you know, get water and
ran out of water
and they are relying on water tanks since then.
And they would be charging exorbitant rates.
Yeah, so whenever, it's not just in Whitefield, it seems. Mm-hmm. So whenever there is the summer and, you know, you don't get water at the right time and you're like calling for these tankers. So what they do is like, even they are getting this water from borewells, right?
Yeah.
And you know how bad the conditions of borewells
right,
are.
Right.
You can't actually blame them, but still you can blame them for
they're
what
just,
they're doing.
They're just exploiting the situation.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is something
yeah,
that deserves
yeah.
a blame.
So what they're doing is like earlier, one tank would be around like $500. Now they're charging up to like 700, 800 and even up to like 1,400 rupees for like one tank. And the thing is that when one of the tanker guy was interviewed, he said that earlier, like probably like 5-6 years back, from a borewell, they used to get probably like 10 tanks
right.
of water
mm-hmm.
every day. But now it has reduced like 3 or 4. So what can they do? They can't do anything. So what they do is like they'll auction it off. Whoever pays the more, pays more money, they'll sell it to them.
And when it comes to, see, water is something that is absolute necessary in life. Necessary. It's a basic necessity, right? And you cannot put a price to it. So you cannot, you know, if you're not ready to pay, there is always someone else who wants
yeah.
it.
That's what. And our reliance on groundwater is what it's messing
right.
it up. And we don't, now that we don't have like water bodies, mm-hmm. which are like serving proper drinking water, that's another issue. So we have to rely on Kaveri. We are sorry, people from Tamil Nadu. We have to rely on Kaveri and it has to be pumped from, you know, where Kaveri is, right?
Mysore, Mandya.
It has to travel around like 100 kilometers and
right.
come to Bangalore. So it's an uphill battle. So one other issue why this is happening is like there are like lot of subsidies when it comes to agriculture and all that, right? For irrigation they give free electricity and water. So what sometimes these farmers do is like they'll just leave it open and be like let my crops get proper water. So that is one other issue which has led
right.
to this. But it's not a major issue, but how we are using it and how we are like exploiting the groundwater and how we treat the water bodies has all culminated in this thing, including the increased number of people migrating to the city.
Mm-hmm.
So at this rate, Bangalore is set to deplete its groundwater by 2020.
That is next year.
Next year, yes.
Well, time to look for an on-site.
So, so what we are... what we are saying is that, you know what, borewells will dry up and we'll have to rely on Kaveri water or on the trucks which are providing water at, you know, higher costs.
Mm.
So one other issue we are facing because of water crisis, like it's an indirect effect where farmers are using this polluted water from, you know, Belandur Lake or something. I'm not sure if it's Belandur, but they are using this water for irrigation.
Mm.
So what happens here is that these polluted water which gets into the food stream and we are actually having food which is poison.
Right.
So they actually go to the market saying that, you know, it's made out of water which is pure, but they have to lie to our faces because they also have to live, right?
Yeah, I think we all understand the seriousness of this. And at least in my life, a lot of changes have happened after I started researching about this. I've stopped taking shower and using the shower. I'm just, you know, filling water in a bucket and taking shower because that will make sure that you're not wasting water. You're just using enough water to take shower. I urge everybody to do that because every single drop that you can save, you know, is water saved. So if you have not realized we are in deep trouble at this point, I think what can be done? Maybe severe punishment for the encroachers, you know, cleaning of lakes and other water bodies, and, you know, treating the water that comes out of industries and all that before they are let into lakes and all those things.
Yeah. So a couple of facts, like by international standard, every person should get around like 150 liters of water every day. Mm. But what we are getting is like around 100 max. Mm. And we use around like 20 liters for like flushing and, right, you know, drinking and all that. And the rest of the water is used for like washing your car or those kind of stuff.
Mm.
So we can actually, if you put an effort, right, we can actually reduce the amount of water which we actually use. And there are other things like, you know, you can start rainwater harvesting because now we have like around 80% of the city being like a concrete jungle. There's no way for water to penetrate and go inside. So even if we look at our home, the surrounding place, it's all concrete, right? So water cannot go down and, you know, replenish the groundwater. So that's one thing which we have to like start doing. And then there is another issue which probably the government can work on is like fixing leaking water.
They are trying their best to do that at places, yeah, at least. And best thing we can do is try not to, you know,
cause them
or rather not create a problem for them if we are trying to do this. Yeah, so I think this is one thing that we wanted to discuss. And I hope that, you know, our listeners also have got some awareness about what crisis we are going through and where we are going to end up very soon. So, next time you're taking a shower or wasting water, please keep these things in mind.
Yeah, this is not something you can, you know, take lightly, because it's said that, you know, by 2020, there won't be any groundwater and you have to rely on pipe water. And
it's
that,
not so. A problem of the future, like some asteroid might come and hit the earth in the future and I'll not be alive for that, but this is something that's going to happen in your lifetime and very soon, like next year is what we are talking about. So better take this seriously. Think about how much water you're wasting. Don't leave the tap open. Don't wash your car every day. It's not required at all. Once a week is fine. Twice a week is fine. Just wipe it. It's okay. But, you know, please think about this.
This is the present and you can do something about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So I think that's a wrap and thank you so much for listening to us.
Thanks for watching us.
In case this goes live. And this is Writer and Geek signing off for today. Thank you so much.